Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Larkin, the host of Beauty, Strength, and Dominance, the LFC podcast, the co-host of the Steve and Mike Show, and one-third of the Max Wrestling Podcast, and you are listening to the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Tune in and relax and unwind.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm DJ Impact, and I got two of the Vegas Bad Boys here with me via Skype. King Lucky, what's up, man?
Rest in peace.
Okay, all right. Sounds interesting over Skype, but I get what you're doing. Matt Michaels, what's up?
Yeah, it sounds like he's trying to squeeze out a turd or something. It's horrible.
that's what was actually happening. And I was telling the turd to rest in peace.
Oh, my God. Well, we're going to start off, guys, with our three count tonight. We have exciting topics that we're here to engage you with.
It's time. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting present.
One, two, three.
Count Talk.
Count Talk, baby.
So let's start off with the first one.
One.
And this has to do with King Lucky's favorite show, 205 Live, and this is brought to you by WrestlingNews.co. They titled it, WWE Star Believes That 205 Live Should Be Treated Better By The Company. I don't know why they just put WWE Star. They just should have put his name, Leo Rush. And the whole deal with that is he took part in a Q&A with fans over Twitter. And one of the fans had just asked him, hey, do you think that 205 Live should have their own takeover style event since the other two NXT brands have them? And Rush answered, I think WWE 205 should be treated better as a whole. Ooh, Leo, you shouldn't be talking like that, man. You know, you're going to be looking for some AEW ROH employment with that talk. King Lucky, what you say about this, man? You agree with this guy?
Well, I got to tell you, first of all, it's 305 Live now because I'm getting ready to head over to the show. But I will say this.
Okay.
Leo Rush has no filter. I mean, that guy, if he believes in it, he'll say it. And I would say, of course they should. And they need somebody with star power to carry the charge. I hate to say this, but if you go back, Enzo Amore, he made people watch 205. Okay, they have a core group of fans, right? But I will tell you, when he was there, people were invested. He's a talker. His wrestling skills may not be that great, but he definitely made it must see TV. Now, with Leo Rush making that,
did you watch? I actually did watch. Mm. Oh my God! So wait, so you watch 205 Live, the show you refuse to watch now, where they have competent in-ring performers, but back then you watched him and his in-ring stuff. Oh my God!
I will say this, that since he is the one making the claim, he has all the tools to do just that. And I think if he can find a way to get himself over, he's already over as a performer, but if he can find a way to get himself over with the office, he can really lead the charge on it.
But Matt Michaels, I mean, does Leo not kind of have a point? I mean, why not give 205 sort of the same excitement that you were getting over there in NXT? I mean, the wrestling that they do is primarily the same.
All right, name three wrestlers on the show.
Leo Rush, Is wait, Googliak's over there, right? Googliak's over there, right?
Googliak, yeah.
And who else? I forget his name. Mustache dude. All right, I get what you're saying, but
you're arguing to me right now that there should be a pay-per-view.
But that's only because, is that not because 205 has not been put out there the way NXT has?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
They barely have a roster. So, it's not like they have. There's a reason NXT's out there on pay-per-view. It's because they're seasoning them up for the actual big show.
Right.
And on top of that, you have so much talent in there that only those people who are, you know, kind of getting ready for the potential push down the line on the main product, people they see going that way, mm-hmm. or people who are established, are getting all these pay-per-views. So, therefore, people are going to watch those, right?
Right.
And it's also it's established. And UK, same thing is happening. And the UK, you know, they're making probably their money back on production through the gate, right?
Right.
But that's the thing. 205 Live is not going to fucking bring asses into seats. They could run a fucking gymnasium and fucking sell out the place.
I get what you're saying. I do. I mean, in fact,
I mean the cost of production alone versus what the actual reward would be is just like it's just a horrible business proposition.
Yeah. So you then would not agree with Lio Rush?
No, I think that Lio, and maybe he's opening his mouth maybe to try to get fired. You know, maybe that's why he opens his mouth.
Right, right.
Like, hey, you know, let me go join one of those companies by right. saying that we should have our own pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know, here's something, mm-hmm. and this is I think Lio, if he spent the same energy trying to get on a main roster pay-per-view that he is shooting his mouth off about how 205 should have a pay-per-view,
mm-hmm.
then maybe he should, you know, step up his game and get on the big show and the big pay-per-views. How about that?
Well, I mean, Lio, I mean, he's been, when he was not too long ago on NXT, I mean, he was doing quite well there, would you not say?
What I'm saying, though, is what he's saying is they should create a pay-per-view for that 205 brand.
Right.
And what I'm saying is, well, you're asking them then to put more money and more time into this product. Why don't you, as a performer, then put more time into yourself and get on the main roster instead of, you know, saying, hey, why don't they create something for us? Why don't you make it up to where you should be? There's no reason he shouldn't be on that main roster.
So, King Lucky, you know? I mean, what's the whole point then? And maybe this is kind of what you've been saying from the beginning. What's the whole point of 205 period then?
Well, I definitely think it's to give a platform to talent that work a high flyer style, you know, smaller guys. And then you see some of those guys cross over at the really good ones and make it onto the main roster, you know. So mm-hmm. I think it's a proving ground for that talent base.
Yeah.
And they also kind of, you know, what's interesting is they won. Stepped it back basically by tying that cruiserweight title now onto NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's just like, why would you have a pay-per-view when you don't have technically have a championship even?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, listen, I think he's a fabulous performer.
Right,
I think
he's
really great. And he's entertaining as hell. And when he opens up his mouth like this, this is fucking phenomenal. Yeah. So I would not discourage him from stopping.
Sure.
But, I can't necessarily agree with what he has to say.
Gotcha. All right, well, Leo Rush, we'll see if we see you on 205 anytime soon or... you've been given your papers, We'll follow you. We'll follow you. Nevertheless, all right.
He's the leader of the Dark Order.
The Exalted One. Oh my God. Oh.
Well, he's about to be the Exalted One.
or delete. Yeah. All right, man. All right. Well, that's our first topic for the night. Let's go into the second one. This comes from my favorite website, Forbes.com. Titled, A Major WWE Star Won't Be Wrestling at WrestleMania 36 After All. And this was according to Wrestling Observer Newsletter, that Triple H would join Ronda Rousey and Goldberg as marquee names who won't be wrestling at its flagship pay-per-view. Guys, this is pretty interesting because Triple H, and I had to do a little bit of my research here, because I know I've seen him just about at every WrestleMania I've been at. He has performed at 23 WrestleManias. Amazing. I think in some way, would you guys not say that not having, and we'll talk about Ronda, because it wasn't as if Ronda or Goldberg, I mean, we were hoping they would be a part of the card, but it's not like, they've had sort of this history of being a part of the big show like Triple H. So there was a chance they were not going to be there. But not having Triple H there, would that kind of change a little bit of the dynamics with Mania? I mean, when he comes out, there's always some big performance that's put together, production, I should say, that I actually look forward to, and every year it just seems like it gets better and better. I'll start with you again, King Lucky. Do you think not having Triple H for the first time and not part of this WrestleMania is going to be a little different this year?
Well, his matches are always very good. His entrances are very good. I'll tell you what, the entrance budgets will be spread around more evenly because his seem to take up the whole budget. Yes. But I will say I'm a huge Triple H fan. I always have been, even back when he was just, wrestling as the dirty heel that you just hated, to loving him. And, he's a great, great wrestler, in-ring performer, right?
Right.
But him missing the show, to me, is more of a missed opportunity to possibly elevate a younger superstar at this age and, at this stage in his career.
True.
So I think it's definitely a miss.
Matt Michaels, I guess you would probably say, though, that, he's taking on big responsibilities now with NXT. And now that they're doing their live shows, he's over a lot of more responsibility and just don't have time to prepare and be a part of that. What would you say towards with that and him missing this Mania?
Well, yeah, I think he needed all that time to prepare and get ready because the guy is just, he just does not keep himself in shape. listen, I think this is, it's like you can't win here. It's because for years and years and years, all fans bitched about was the belt on Hunter, and I'm sick of Hunter and Hunter, blah blah, fucking blah.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, oh, he's not going to be part of Mania. Oh, his 40-minute entrance was my favorite part of Mania. I just think it's ridiculous. I mean, the guy is now in his 50s and doesn't have anything else to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Probably has a little, better use than, getting back there and getting oiled up and in the trunks and everything and ready to go and getting – you know, all the performers in place for his, you know, it's like, no, he's probably going to be in a suit back there with, you know, headset on and making sure things are going right. So, you know, I like, I'm, are we even sure the Undertaker's going to be there?
Well, here's the thing. I definitely think AJ's interview last week alluded to him wrestling the Undertaker.
Mm.
It has not been confirmed, but he has been at the PC, and AJ cut a heel that, or cut a promo that was very close to calling out the Undertaker.
Well, call me back when he calls out the Undertaker, and we know he's going to be there.
Well, I'll tell you this. Triple H, again, like we said, 23 WrestleManias. And let me just throw it out there. Who do you all think had more?
Undertaker.
Yeah. And that's by three WrestleManias. He's had 26 of them. So going back to what you're saying, man, I get the idea. 50, who wants to go back there and oil up and get in shape and do all this? But hey, if Taker can still go at it, why not have Triple H do it?
What I'm saying is Triple H could do it. You're missing my point. No problem. He could go step in if he fucking felt like it tomorrow. He's in, you know, he's in fit shape. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that he has other priorities now. You know, he's part of the production staff and getting these shows, you know, produced and on. You know, do you want to fuss around with doing all the stuff you need to do to prepare the day of to go out there and wrestle when you could be, you know, helping guys improve, you know, their matches going into that final day?
I'm going to go back to King Lucky, but let me ask you one more question then, Mr. Michaels. What about the idea of what King Lucky's saying, that he could have the he has the opportunity to elevate a wrestler to a higher level? I get what you're saying. Everything you're saying makes sense. But why not maybe take, I don't know, another year, maybe 2 years, 3 years, whoever you see as might need the push to get over to perform?
So we're going to then put him on TV for essentially 1 month,
mm-hmm,
just to put someone over? I don't know. To me, that's ridiculous. It's one thing if he goes out in a match with, you know, Batista, who wants to do his last match with him, or, you know, doing the bit with Angle and Ronda and Steph,
mm-hmm,
because there's experience and whatnot there. But outside of that, you just, I don't know. There's no reason for him to be putting kids over. He won't do it. He's Triple H.
Yeah. King Lucky, is not having Ronda or Goldberg a part of this Mania, is that going to, not make a big, showcase for this year's Mania?
Well, I definitely think you are going to see Goldberg at WrestleMania. I don't think that this Super Showdown match with The Fiend is just a one-off. A lot of rumors right now.
Okay.
Rumor has it.
Yes.
That potentially Vince might have flipped this whole thing on its ear, and you might have Goldberg walking out of Super Showdown with the strap.
So I don't believe that. I'm not.
Well, hey, listen. Stranger things have happened.
They're going to put the strap on a Jew in Saudi Arabia.
No, actually, that's a good point, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would blow my mind.
It's interesting that he's wrestling on the card, but I will say that. You know, and we kind of went back and forth with this thing, but a Goldberg and Roman Reigns match,
mm-hmm,
makes for one hell of a dream match.
Yeah, but they're already saying what Reigns versus The Fiend. Yeah, so yeah. No. Which whatever. I mean, that didn't we see that already?
So now you're already proving the point. Now, not having your Triple H, not having your Ronda, your Goldberg, you know, I don't know. Are we saying that maybe it would kind of been great to have one of them to make the show more interesting than what they're already saying?
But we still don't know if we don't have X, Y, or Z.
Well, that's true. Yes.
Because what I was just going to say was that why are we not putting on Riddle versus Goldberg?
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah.
Well, capitalize on it. I figured it was all a ploy anyway to get that match happening at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's definitely a match I'd like to see. They interviewed Goldberg this week, and Goldberg basically called him a booger that's just irritating. So, I don't know. Triple H seems to be a fan of Riddle. You had Randy Orton kind of throwing an endorsement in, you know, once he saw the NXT TakeOver match and Riddle winning the tag team champions. He said, I get it now, but he also told him to fuck off. So, you know, Riddle is irritating a lot of people, you know, and some people believe that, you know, somewhere, somebody high up actually likes what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's definitely the case.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll have to see how all of that comes together. Until then,
this is where you go. Oh man, I wish Hogan would be wrestling. Not wrestling this guy.
You still got 5 weeks of TV left to go, so anybody's possible. I wouldn't say Hogan,
didn't Hogan and the Fiend have a little thing going on?
That's right.
For
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll see the Fiend take him out of WrestleMania. Fuck Roman.
I don't want to see that.
I know there's a lot of people.
You were the one who were just complaining. You're just complaining, man.
No. I'm not complaining. I am delivering the stories and getting what your thoughts out of it. That's all I'm doing. But what I will tell you is, well, let me ask y'all this. Who do you think, just as a little fun, where do you think Triple H production dollars talent you think that will go for to have a major entrance? Who would you do a little fantasy production building? Who you think that money could go for?
Definitely Drew McIntyre.
Oh, yeah.
He needs something epic, which, I mean, in all fairness, I think you're looking at his crowning moment.
Mm-hmm.
At WrestleMania, or at least most people would believe that. So I'd like to see him have a great entrance.
I think they've done this already, but are they gonna do another, 100 Scottish folks on the stage down the ramp doing the drum line of his theme? Although I don't know how.
No, I wouldn't want to see that.
He wouldn't want to. Okay, all right. All right. Well, I'm not a part of production. I'm just trying to see if I can help him spend that Triple H production money.
why do we have to spend it on him?
On what's his name? Oh, God.
You see? Exactly. What's
Drew.
His name?
No, listen. Because if Drew doesn't win, you're going to be still stuck with your boy Brock.
As we should be.
Okay. But maybe all the production dollars that go to him and you can have your big celebration.
No, you put the production dollars where you should put them, and that is Daniel Bryan should have dancers who are in huge hands that are pointing up. And it should be like 200 of them. And they should just be like all doing like a kick line. Everyone's chanting yes, yes, and then his daughter could drive him in one of those little like kids Hot Wheels motorized cars. And she could drive Dad down to ringside. There you go.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you know, the problem with using the hands is that doesn't cost a lot of money. You know, that's about $1,000. Oh, we need production. No. We want that production money a part of this show. We need something big.
We're talking huge, giant hands. Like, you know how good people walk around in the theme parks and those, you know, like the head, if you can imagine a character's head,
yeah,
about 30 feet tall.
Okay, there you go.
That's what I'm talking. I'm talking, you know, we're putting billions of dollars into this.
Okay.
Because it's just stupid enough,
right,
to fucking actually make it onto WrestleMania.
Yeah. All right. Gotcha. All right, well, we're going to go to our next story. For the show here, this comes from ringsidenews.com. And we always love to see when Jim Cornette's name pops up, it's like, we've got to see what's going on now. So let me break it down to you and we'll get your thoughts. Mr. Michaels, as we'll start with you. Ringsidenews.com reports, they're titled, Jim Cornette says AEW, she used Nyla Rose as transgender woman to get heat. Now, according to Jim Cornette's experience, I guess on his show, yeah, he said he doesn't, first off, have any issue with Rose as transgender, but he only thinks that AEW isn't using Nyla Rose to her full potential as a heel. And apparently, this was the same thing that Val Venus was saying when he also was making some comments on Nyla as well. And some of the comments that he was saying was that AEW should be portraying Nyla Rose's title win as, quote, moral, ethical, or logical. And he says, for the record, Nyla Rose is technically cheating as a transgender female competing against biological females. So, and just to back that up, he also linked an article that was showing how you can sort of get that heat when an article that was titled Three High School Runners Sue to Block Transgender Athletes from Playing Girls Sports. So that's with Val Venus. But going back to what Cornette was saying is that she is transgender, which is still obviously a controversial topic. And AEW is not acknowledging, first off, the fact that she is transgender. In fact, according to the report, since been on Dynamite, it's sort of been ignored because Cody Rhodes had mentioned that to ignore the negativity instead of engage in a larger social discussion. So it seems like that he's just really saying, why not play this up? This is controversial. It's a topic that will definitely catch the interest. And I don't know. Usually we're kind of beating up on Cornette, but I got to ask you, Michaels, does he have a point here for what he's saying, or is he still on the cray-cray machine with Val Venus?
Does he have a point? Well, to me, what you have to then ask yourself is, if he is viewing a transgender person wrestling women as being cheating, being unfair, mm-hmm, then he's also negating Tessa Blanchard being the world champion.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
His argument makes, yeah, no sense.
Right. And that's what Val Venus says. But yes, you're right. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what he's essentially saying, because he's saying that you should use the transgender to get you heat because then you'd be wrestling women.
Right, correct. Mm-hmm.
And because you're a man wrestling a woman, that should give you heat. But the thing is that in today's wrestling structure, men wrestle women all the fucking time.
Exactly.
So you have to be a heel to get the heat. You can't play the gender as a card to get heat. That's fucking ridiculous. Mm.
King Lucky.
Yeah, I actually have the same sentiments. I was going to say that in this landscape now, you have so many intergender matches take place. And so the argument itself, it's kind of a mute point. And just for the record, I mean, I think, you know, we're in a progressive society now. And if this is what Nyla has chosen to do, and, you know, it's AEW has given her a great platform for it, mm-hmm. Rewarded her as being the champion, then why not? I mean, you know, it's there's, to me, I don't see anything wrong with it outside of last week when she cut a promo and she kind of sounded a little rough. But other than that, I mean, it's great. You know, I think it empowers, you know, everybody. So I don't have a problem with it at all.
Is it a mistake for AEW to sort of stay away from mentioning the fact that she's transgender at all?
You know, that this was always mentioned, you know, it was always made aware to the fan base.
Yeah, so, no, that's not true, though, because the point that's being argued is that they don't talk about her being transgender.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, not actively on the show, but when she originally got signed, that was part that's of not the contract. That,
wait, that's not the... So you're looking again in the little kingdom you live in, which is just the marks. All right? What the reason that you're not seeing her being referred to as transgender is that would have a broader effect potentially on the product, meaning that A, you're marketing where you have little kids, mm-hmm. so now you have to explain it to kids.
Mm-hmm.
B, the next thing is that you also are marketing to a demographic that will have a lot of non-liberal minded people, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to have a potential, you know, if we go out and say it, then, you know, maybe the fans just will reject that because, you know, they have some kind of phobia behind it. And then advertisers, mm-hmm. you know, if you're putting your money into your commercial sponsor, you know, the commercial sponsor money, there's a lot of times that advertisers won't want to touch that because of the fact that it's just too hot or too controversial in the country right now.
So Val Venus, again, his tweet, he said, look, I never claimed, because apparently he is also a fan of Nyla Rose, that Nyla Rose was cheating. It's scripted and could be a heat-seeking storyline when portrayed responsibly. My position was and still is that portraying a biological man winning the women's championship is not something to portray as moral, ethical, or logical. And again, he points to the article that he also submitted that three high school runners sue to block transgender athletes from playing girls' sports. So, Matt,
well, it just shows you how smart Val Venus is when he outwardly says it's scripted, and then he goes and uses a real sport where there's, you know, the reason the grievance is being filed is because there actually is a competitive nature to it. So, mm-hmm. what the fuck, Val? But at the same time, mm-hmm. I have to tell you, you should be taking everything he says to heart. Because don't forget, he used to be in the Right to Censor. Right?
Yeah, I actually like that group.
Of course you did, you ultra-conservative hack.
Whatever. Oh, man. Okay. Any final words on it, King Lucky, or that's it?
That's it for me. I'm good.
Okay. All right. Well, that is our three count for the show there. And I guess we could talk a little bit about wrestling, maybe what you guys seen on TV this week. This will probably be a good opportunity to plug our show, guys. PCO, live at Boulder Station. And what day is that?
That's coming up on March 11th, Wednesday night, 6 p.m. You won't want to miss it because you will have a chance to win tickets, second row, to Ring of Honor that weekend.
That's right. Friday night is the pay-per-view, and then Saturday is the TV tapings. So it's going to be great. We, again, definitely plan to come out and hang with us. He is the world champion right now, man, ROH. It's exciting times. He's
That's huge.
Yeah. I've been reading a lot of little articles and different things he's been talking about, and it was some little mention. I think someone probably mentioned up to him, and he just kind of elaborated on it. But was talking about the idea of ROH having the ability to go weekly television, and how he would be all, you know, up for that. You know, it might not be something we see, but it's just interesting the talks now of just hearing. You know, wrestling, look like a lot of people want to get into this live weekly thing now. You know, we don't know if they can actually do it, but even the talks of it just makes it interesting. And most importantly, it's going to make it fun, right? Because we get a chance to see things that are live instead of what's already pre-taped, you know, if that comes down the line. But nevertheless, we'll get a chance to maybe ask him that and other questions as well. And you'll get a chance to ask your questions to him. Make sure you come down Boulder Station. That's March 11th. That's Wednesday, 6 p.m. All right, guys. Wrestling TV, what caught your interest this past week on Raw, AEW, NXT, or SmackDown? I know everything is with WWE is planning up for the Super Showdown, so maybe I'll go to you, King Lucky. What has caught your interest on any of the TV lately?
Well, first of all, I gotta say congratulations to Nikki and Brie Bella.
Oh yeah,
for their Hall of Fame induction, which is really awesome. You know, they put in a lot of work. You know, through the years, started out as just kind of like enhancement talent. Yeah. And then made a name for themselves, both of them individually. Mm-hmm. It's a huge accomplishment for them and for women's wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but they didn't explode until after they got their talents enhanced.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm also excited for. Naomi getting a shot at Bayley's championship there at Super Showdown.
You think she's gonna do it, man?
It's huge. I don't know. Bayley is gonna be the first woman to ever defend there, and you know, it should be a good match. I don't know if she'll take it, you know, but I think, you know, Naomi for a while has earned her spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she did win the Battle Royal few years ago, and I think it could be time for her, you know, to shine. So yeah.
Okay. What else? What else caught your interest?
I tell you what, I think the Goldberg segment on SmackDown was perfectly timed. Like it didn't run over too long. They didn't talk too much. I think him hitting them with the spear, you know, was definitely a good way to close out that segment.
I agree. When are they going to run? One day do the which I'm waiting for, so I can be like, yes, I knew I was right on this. When are they going to run one day where when the lights drop out and they come back on, there are four different fiends on each side of the ring. Ooh. Yeah. Come on. Yeah,
I'd be awesome. I really thought for the first minute or so that when the lights came up that it wasn't actually him, which would have been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for where, you know, Goldberg, you know, takes off the mask and it's, you know, someone who has, you know, Bray's kind of shape, but
yeah,
you know, it wasn't the Fiend, you know, and then you have like Bray on the top of the steps or something waving in his other costume, or, you know, that was the other thing, you know, just, you know, lights come up and you have four fiends, five fiends, six fiends, but as Goldberg's plowing through them, none of them are actually the Fiend, you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I think, you know, having multiple fiends would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of leave an air of mystique.
Just like Doink, right?
Yes. Just like... or Kane.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought AEW had great TV this week as well, too, which was a little interesting for me because I thought NXT's TV was a little bit soft coming off of the pay-per-view. But I thought that AEW had a really strong showcase with that week and now this week leading up to the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And Cody, as always... You know, putting in that work, reminding us all why he is Dusty Rhodes' son. I mean, he had an incredible match. He busted open, you know, his wig, if you will, and also possibly broke his toe. So we'll see how that plays. But also really cool out of last week's show is that they made the announcement for AEW action figures. Which is very, very cool. I'm an action figure collector myself. And so they have this first run that'll be available this summer for $20 a pop. And you have limited edition Jericho, limited edition Cody, you know.
Yeah.
So it's pretty exciting stuff.
That'd be kind of cool if they had this, you know, maybe even sort of a... you know, like they have one or two prototype or something that they bring to Toy Con that's actually going to be coming out here. Yeah. You never know, right?
So, yeah, I'm with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Moxley canceled his appearance, so.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and you did touch on it, Impact. Vegas Toy Con is coming here next month.
Mm-hmm.
And the lineup that they have, even with Moxley canceling, is just tremendous. You've got Rey Mysterio,
Optimus Prime,
Tessa Blanchard. You've got Hall and Nash,
D. Wallace from ET,
Sting, and FSW is actually running Chris Bay, who recently got signed to Impact Wrestling. Congratulations, Bay.
There you go.
Versus Tessa Blanchard, along with a couple of other matches. So
that's pretty huge.
That is really going to be a great card.
Yeah. And that's all at Toy Con.
Yeah, that's all at Vegas Toy Con.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which your bad boys would be there too, right? Your Vegas bad boys.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't forget, though, I think this year the Toy Con itself is not being held at the cannery where the the Bay versus Tessa will happen at. I think that's a secondary location for the Toy-Con.
Mm. Toy-Con is at it's at Eastside Cannery.
The whole convention is this year.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm impressed. I didn't know that place was that big.
Yeah. They're hosting the whole convention there. So really cool stuff.
We know it's interesting when you talk about. Well, we know that Moxley won't be there, like he got pulled. Did you also read that, I guess, for WrestleCon, the AEW also pulled two of their talent? I believe it was, Sammy Guevara and Darby Allin. I believe they pulled those two. And they're not really giving any reasons why they're pulling, you know, folks from the shows. But, you know, so I don't know. I mean, they're still going to have quite a bit of talent there, but... You know, it's as interesting as shows are coming up where people are being promoted. They're getting pulled just from AEW. So, whatever. Anything else, you guys? I would tell you this. Let me jump back over to the SmackDown. One thing I didn't get a chance to finish before you went over at King Lucky. I know y'all like me. You're watching TV. You're watching the matches 2 weeks straight. And you start to see what looked like it was these glitches or static. And it's funny because the very first time it happened, I was like, man, they must be in some bad weather or something. That's out. Like, seriously, that's what I thought the very first week I saw that. And then when, of course, I saw it this past week, I was like, oh, okay, this is actually something bigger. Y'all have any thoughts on that? I love whatever they're doing. I do love it, and it's funny because Cole and Corey they just ignore it. They don't even mention it. They don't even say, I don't know what's going on. Why are we having this? They just keep doing the match calling. But obviously, there's something there. What do y'all think, man? It's a pretty good build for whoever they're building.
Yes, yeah, Lucky believes it's Killer Cross.
I, you know what? I was partially delusional for
partially,
about,
totally
for about
delusional.
5 minutes.
Totally
for about five
delusional.
Minutes. And then, after watching that video and analyzing everything,
he analyzed it.
I did analyze it because I wanted to see.
You fucking read it on the internet.
No, I slowed it down.
Mark.
Let me tell you, I slowed down the video.
And you read it on the internet because you had to see that, oh, okay, I got to look on this fucking thing now because the internet told me to.
I was like, oh, fuck off, Michael.
It's true, dude.
I will say.
You were so fucking far up Cross's ass that it was him. Because the X looks just like the X in like Killer Cross's X's.
No, that was Finn Balor, by the way.
Okay.
But whatever.
Anyway, yes. So now it seems, it appears to be, Impact, that it is going to be Ali, which... I mean, if you look at his hand and how he has the glove that glows and all that, I mean, listen, Ali's a great talent, but they've misused him, pushed him, pulled him, and so...
You're not sold on him.
I would have thought that...
You think he'd be sold on him? You think that this guy, Mr. 205 Never,
right.
is going to be sold on Ali? Come on.
Right, yeah.
I actually like Ali, but I would have thought that they would have used that spot for somebody grander, if I must say.
Yeah, the old interference on the TV spot for someone grander. Like, what, are you going to have fucking NWO come in again? Jesus.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But, yeah.
All right, but, yeah.
Oh wait, no wait. It was CM Punk. I'm sorry. It was CM Punk, right?
I'm still waiting for CM Punk to come back, man. Shh. Quiet. To touch a subject.
Oh man. Well, Super Showdown, I'm assuming you guys are going to watch it and give us a full report on that on our next show. So
here's an easy report.
Okay.
Whoever you think will win, will win.
The glorified house show.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I heard More Talent decided to not participate this time. I'm like, finally, they're getting the message, you know. So, good for them.
Well,
and I heard that WWE is not sending a majority of their talent over there. You know, lesson learned, you know, because they almost got themselves screwed last time with having SmackDown almost performed by fans. You know, because all their talent was stuck on plane. So, you know, but yeah, I guess we'll see how that all turns out. Outside of that, fellas, any last words you want to say for this week's podcast before we sign off?
I mentioned it earlier.
Yeah.
I want to say it again. Congratulations, Chris Bay. One of the hardest working.
Oh my God!
Humble.
Oh Jesus Christ!
Humble.
Will you take your lips like out of the ass? For fuck's sake!
Shut the fuck up. Anyway, congratulations, Chris Bay, for getting signed by Impact Wrestling.
Oh, and don't forget about Lucky when you go on every way. And then Lucky just like,
fuck,
I want fucking tickets because like, I want to hang out with you. Like, I want to post pictures.
Let me ask you this right quick, King Lucky, before I go to Michael's final words. What was your take on when you heard about, I guess, the conference call that Cody had about saying he wanted to
Wait. You're actually asking him when I was on the actual fucking conference call?
Okay, Matt Michaels.
Jesus.
Matt, let me go to you.
You see how Matt Michaels is such a fucking diva? I'm glad you're putting it out there for the fucking world to do.
You know what? It is a good point. It's a good point.
Yeah, you got someone who would firsthand.
Give the baby a pacifier.
But let him answer, and then I'll come back to you, King Lucky. But it is true. He was on the conference call. So what was your thought then, Michaels, when you heard Cody say he actually, you know, they wish that they could have got Chris Bay?
I texted him right away because that was something that, you know, it was very interesting that it was said. And then within a few hours, the official announcement was that Impact had signed him. So it was interestingly played by Impact's side. I think they might have had to just get that word out there as kind of a hey, sorry AEW, but guess who actually signed him? Which is, if that's what they did, is the smartest fucking thing they could do.
Yeah, and King Lucky, what did you think? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Really quick. Don't forget. The question was phrased to Cody.
Okay.
As what African American talent do you see potentially being, you know, huge in the future? And you know, Cody basically went to Chris. Out of all the different talent that you could say, he was the only name that he actually brought up.
Just hold your thought, Lucky. Let me ask you though, Matt, isn't it pretty interesting though that out of all the barriers that AEW has been breaking and everything as they're starting off, that is the one thing that it seemed like it is kind of missing, is not really having, you know, black performers that's, you know, outside of course.
Well, hell, you got a gay black performer and he's never on the show.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Like, what happened there? Where did they miss the boat on that? I mean, it kind of wonders, you know, as if, you know, is there not any one out there that is
worth? Well, they're on the Turner network there. You know, they're Southern wrestling.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah. Lucky, what was your take when you heard that? Your boy Chris Bay, he could have been with the big dogs. Not to say, you know, Impact isn't a wonderful wrestling organization to be with, but I mean, AEW is right underneath WWE. What's your take?
They drug it out too long. Cody talked about Chris Bay a while ago. And so, you know, they've got other priorities, you know, and they're starting a new company and the whole nine. And I'm sure, you know, there's a lot going on, but, yeah, drug their feet too long.
Okay. All right. Michaels, you had any final words, man, for the show?
No. That's it? Okay. Just, you know, I think that Lucky, you know, he totally gets that contract situation because he also was sitting in the room with Jeff Cobb when Cobb was going over his options for AEW. Jeez.
Anything you want to reply back on that, King Lucky, with Jeff Cobb being a part of AEW?
Let me just say this, and I'm glad I got the last word, because Michaels, you're getting ready to suck it. But Jeff Cobb is a phenomenal talent, mm-hmm. and if they didn't sign him after his first appearance, shame on them. Mm. And you can close the you can close this off. Matt Michaels sucks, and that's the end.
Yeah. So let me ask you, Lucky. How was the contract negotiations like? Because you seem to know, you know, what the whole thing was in terms of, you know, did they offer him contract? Didn't they? Did he sign? Didn't he? You know, I want the live reporting, man.
The live reporting. Hey, look, I'm just as much of a mark as you are.
Oh.
Even though you don't claim to be, but. After his appearance, he still said, "You can see me anywhere." Put out there AEW, WWE, NXT. So it's clear that the deal hadn't been done. So, choke on that, slap nuts.
Okay, guys. We're going to end the show until next week. We will we'll see you then. Don't forget to tell people you know who love wrestling to subscribe to us as we are building Vegas Bad Boys of Podcast. Until then, we're out.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.